The Tarlhurst End Podcast.
Read the blog
on thetarlhurstend.com.
What a difference a week can make. Reading Football Club have seen the highest of highs, the lowest of lows, and the most mediocre of mediocre. And we're going to round it all up here on the Tarlhurst End Podcast Extra in association with Get Reading for Friday, the 24th of April, 2015. My name's Dan Wimbush, editor of thetarlhurstend.com. And I'm joined, as always, by Get Reading's Reading reporter, Charles Watts. Charles, hello.
Hi, Dan. How are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm very good, mate. Yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. A bit tired. It's been a pretty busy week.
I can't believe it's been a week since we last spoke. But so, as I said at the top, so much has happened in that time. Obviously, the semi-final with Arsenal and all the aftermath of that. And then we've had the Birmingham game and now building up to the final weeks of the season and contract renewals and transfer talk and all that. It's all kicking off.
I know. It's all, in a way, I think everyone's pretty glad it's beginning to come to an end though, and beginning to wind down. I think this is one of those league seasons that everyone just wants to put a pin in as soon as that full-time whistle goes at Derby next Saturday, and everyone can move on and start looking forward to the next one.
Yeah, I think the attendance against Birmingham showed that perfectly well. But we'll come on to that game in a minute. There is only one place to start, and that was the FA Cup semi-final against Arsenal at Wembley on Saturday. Charles, we spoke last week and I didn't really give Reading too much of hope. And you were saying, you know, funny things can happen in football. And they very, very nearly did. Pretty much exactly what you predicted happened in that Arsenal just didn't get going against a team that were dogged and well set up. And Reading so very nearly took them to penalties.
Oh, it was so close. It was so close. I mean, Steve Clarke said before the game he wanted a perfect game. If he got that, then they could win. And they were very, very close to pulling it off. I mean, they were brilliant. They were from start to finish. I thought the first 10 minutes sort of summed it up. They didn't let Arsenal get into their stride really at all. And I think for the first sort of 2 or 3 minutes, the ball was all down the Arsenal end. And it was just around the sort of, there was a couple of throw-ons and around the corner flag. And I thought that set the tone, Reading. They just immediately, from the off, they started pushing Arsenal back. And it's exactly what they needed to do. And they were just brilliant from start to finish. And they were so, so close. And on another day, a little bit of luck, a couple of refereeing decisions that it went against them. I mean, they could easily now we could be sitting here talking about an FA Cup final.
Yeah, it was. It literally was the sort of stuff that dreams are made of. Reading coming so very close. Gareth McCleary scored. Just Reading scoring a goal for me was the moral victory of the day. And to see 30,000 Reading fans have something to really cheer and get behind and some hope to cling on to, because as we said last week, this could have quite easily been, you know, Arsenal going 2-3-0 up early and then it being a bit of a flat day, but it wasn't. It was a day of drama, as you mentioned, and just so close. And the one man to feel sorry for more than anyone else is Adam Federici. Just an absolutely horrible, horrible way to lose a cup semi-final. You could have taken a moment of brilliance from Ozil or Sanchez or even Giroud, but to lose like that, it's just heartbreaking, especially for a man like Federici, who's a great bloke, great servant to the club, and he didn't deserve that.
He didn't deserve that in the slightest. I think no one deserves that, to be honest, but of all of the Reading squad for the season they've had, for that to happen at Feds on an occasion like that, and to end in the sort of pictures that it ended with, which were just, they're still so tough to look at. And I was genuinely devastated for him. And I spoke to him after the Birmingham game. You know, he'd been on a bit of a media blackout since the game, and he popped out. He sort of peered his head around the corner to make sure it was just me standing there at the end of the Birmingham game, and he agreed to come out and talk about it. And he was still, you could hear in his voice the way he was chatting, he was genuinely devastated about what happened. He said he barely slept since the Saturday, and it is just one of those horrible moments. I mean, every time you look at it, you think there's no way he's going to let that past him, and it's just the slightest of deflections from Michael Hector, I think it was, and it just threw him off. He just got it wrong, you know, he got his positioning wrong, and it was one of those sort of Massimo Taibbi moments. And
yeah,
it was all the worst bit was him almost scrambling back to try and get it away, and it was just horrible seeing him. He sort of planted his face down in the turf, he had his eyes shut, he knew what he'd done, and he knew it was going to be a long way back there for Reading, and ultimately it proved costly. And I think that's what makes it even worse, is the fact that it ended on a mistake. It didn't end on, like you say, a moment of brilliance from one of Arsenal's superstars. It ended on an error that 99 times out of 100, even 199 times out of 200, he wouldn't make. And yet it happened on the biggest occasion, on the biggest stage.
We're really just not lucky at Wembley, I don't think. Obviously, we had our luck in 88, but since then, it's always been that you can always point to that one moment. You can point to Stuart Lovell missing that penalty. You can point to at Cardiff Tony Rouge and Barry Hunter combining for this stupid own goal. You can look to the playoff final and Jem Carrishan's shot hitting the post and just not creeping in. It's we're just not very lucky at the venue. I think we used up all that luck in the Simod Cup final, but it, just a horrible, horrible way to go out. But as I said, and we said on the main edition of the podcast on Monday, it gave you so much pride to be a Reading fan, and the way they set themselves up. I said it, the performances going into it had not been inspiring in the slightest, but to put in that sort of display was a credit to Clark and all the players.
Yeah, and I think it's you can certainly take a lot from it going forward. The fact that Clark showed that sort of tactical nous that he did in that game, I thought he got it absolutely perfect. He set the team up and he surprised us all. We went 4-4-2 and no one expected that. And when I saw the lineup, I honestly thought Arsenal are going to steamroll them here. When you only need two in the field, but he actually got it right. He pressed high up the pitch. He put pressure on Arsenal. He didn't. Yes, they had a lot of ball, but they didn't absolutely dominate. You know, Reading were always a threat, and I think that was the key. Reading had to make sure they were a threat when they went forward, and they did that. And they put enough doubt in Arsenal's mind that we can't just push forward constantly here because Reading can get at us, and they did. And you know, if you look at that moment on 86 minutes when Pav went through and. Did Jamie Mackie make the right run? Did he cramp Pav up? Or, you know, you could argue that. And but even so, I mean, Pav should have done better with what he did to not even get a shot away or get a pass away. Then it was just it was such a critical moment. And even in extra time before Sanchez's goal went in, Pav had another opportunity. At least this time he got the shot away and it was blocked. But there were just chances like that. And the offside calls. I mean, we've seen them. We've seen the replays. Clearly, they weren't offside. And like you said, there wasn't any luck. But just the sight of like you said, 30,000 Reading fans, Gareth McCleary sticking that one in, you know, an Arsenal fan as well, scoring at Wembley against Arsenal. It was just such an amazing moment for everyone. And the pictures of all 10 Reading players surrounding him within a couple of seconds of the ball crossing the line. And they were just brilliant pictures. And there's so much to take from that going forward into next season. And hopefully that's what they do, because they've shown on a few occasions this season that they can play well. They can match the very best teams. Whoever is left out of this squad who is here next season, they've just got to take that into that and really push on now and try it and really try and get this club back into the Premier League.
Absolutely. And for me, one of the obviously Saturday was a fantastic day for all concerned, and they'll have happy memories to take away from it. But for me, the biggest kick in the gut was Wednesday, because Reading turned out to play Birmingham. You know there's going to be a little bit of a flat feeling because it's after the Lord Mayor show. Reading had been mathematically safe the night before because of Millwall's defeat, so there was nothing on this game. But to put in such a limp performance against a Birmingham team who, again, are another side on the beach with nothing to play for, slipping to a 1-0 defeat, just showed the very worst of this squad and this era, really, Charles. I was just fed up leaving the ground.
Yeah, it was same old story. I actually thought they played all right in the first half, to be honest. The first 10 minutes was pretty flat, but I thought the rest of the first half they played pretty well. But yeah, again, they didn't take any chances that came their way, and the second half was just horrible. It was very flat, and it mirrored the weekend before with Blackburn, wasn't it? And the week before, and it was just poor. And then suddenly, the last 10 minutes, Birmingham actually started to go forward a little bit, and Feds made a couple of saves, and obviously Donaldson got his header. And yeah, it was just, like you said, it summed it all up. They looked like they could play for 180 minutes, 270 minutes and not score a goal. You know, I don't like to pick on players, but you look at that Kwesi Appiah, I said it this week on my website, he's just not a championship player. I mean, I might be wrong, maybe in another couple of games' time when he's found his feet, he might suddenly look dangerous, but to me, he's just not a championship
player.
There's
a reason to start the season at Cambridge.
Exactly that, and it's exactly what I put. He looks very much a player of Cambridge United level and League Two level. He's 24, he's not 18, and he's 24 and he was playing in League Two this season. And how he's playing ahead of Simon Cox at the moment, yeah, I know Cox has been horribly out of form and not scoring goals, but at least he's a Reading player and he's not an on-loan. It just confuses me, that one. I don't quite understand why we're seeing Kwesi Appiah running around leading the line or coming off the bench rather than the Reading player who is Reading's top scorer this season at the moment. It confuses me, but the whole squad kind of confuses me at the moment and the setup of it. And like we've all said, and we're all expecting, Steve Clark needs to have a very busy summer on his hands to get this sorted ahead of the next campaign.
Yeah, I mean, it's always very emotional when you walk out the ground, especially after a defeat. And you know, sometimes you tweet things and you think, I wish I hadn't said that. And one of the tweets I sent out was, this is the worst Reading team for me since the Burns era. And I copped a little bit of flack initially, but the more I've thought about it, the more I completely stand by it, because this is certainly not the worst group of individuals we've had since that era, and talking 99-2000-ish sort of time. But for me, it's the worst team, because as a team, they just don't function. There are quality individuals and lots of potential in that side. But I'm sorry, Charles, they're just awful. You just look at the home games recently. It's a stat I've trotted out many times. 9 times in 13 home games, they failed to score a goal.
Yeah,
that's staggering.
Dreadful. I mean, it's just a dreadful stat, and it's, you know, it's dreadful performances as well that we're seeing week in week out. And I completely agree with you. There's no way this team should be as bad as they are when you look at the players that they've got in that side and in that squad. But like you said, they don't gel. The amount of times we've seen a really decent team performance, I mean, you can count it on pretty much one hand this season. I can certainly think of, I suppose, the 3 Bradford games were very, very good. Sorry, the 2 Bradford games and the Arsenal game were very, very good. Wolves away was very good. And there's not that many more that you can really...
Certainly under Steve Clarke, no.
Yeah, they don't gel, like you said. There's something seriously wrong in the nature of the squad, and I don't know if it's just the time has come for it to be ripped up. They know that, they can... And it's just a case of treading water now to the end of the season. Unfortunately, we've had it for most of the season, and it hasn't been very much fun to watch. But like I said, we've got three games to go now, and I think we're going to see a very, very different Reading side stepping out in the pitch next August.
Yeah, a lot of people have just been saying, oh, well, they just need a striker. Do you think it's as simple as that?
No, it's more than that. I think one striker is not going to suddenly make that team into world beaters. It's not. The whole thing needs a shake up, and I think some big players are going to have to walk out the door and start again. I mean, you look at that side. Nathaniel Chalobah isn't going to be here next season. I highly doubt he's going to be here next season. I presume Chelsea are going to want to get him in a Premier League side for a year. It's his next stage of development, and he's a very, very good player. And defensive wise, I think now's the time you start building that side around Michael Hector. If that means Alex Pearce has got to go, then he's got to go. He's obviously on big money, his contract's up, and sometimes you've got to make some tough decisions, and you know, maybe get Michael Hector in, get someone else in alongside him. I'd keep Abita and Gunter, but then the rest of that, you can pretty much rip that entire side up for me. I think Danny Williams, possibly, you know, McCleary, if he can get back to his form he showed last season. But then other than that,
all expendable.
They are. I mean, who's not expendable from that side? They all are. I mean, even Gareth McCleary, who I love, and he's one of my favourite players in that squad, but he's not done it really this season.
If some club came in with a £5 million bid, I'd snap your hand up.
Exactly.
Snap your hand off even.
So maybe it's just, you just got to start again. But it's obviously, if you're ripping up an entire squad in one summer, then God knows how long it's going to take for the new players to settle. Plus, the fact, have we got any money to really spend on players to bring in? So you could be shipping 8 or 9 out the door, but then have you got enough money to replace those 8 or 9? And that's the job Clark's got in his hands. He's got a really difficult summer ahead of him of cleverly reshaping this squad to make sure it's competitive for next season. I suppose that's why he gets the big bucks. He's just going to have to do it.
Yeah, one player, we've mentioned a couple of loanies, but the other one is Nathan Aké. He's gone back to Chelsea now. Could you see a scenario where he comes back?
Possibly more so than Chalobah, yeah, because he's nowhere at the stage of development than Chalobah is. But I think... there's already talk that Middlesbrough are very keen on getting him for next season. So he made a big impression while he's here. He's a very, very fine player, I think, fine young player. And he can give you a few different options as well, can't he? He can play central midfield. He's playing almost on the left side of midfield. He can play left back. So, I mean, I'd love to see him back. I mean, we're definitely going to see a fair few loans arrive next season. And it's just about getting quality loans in there. You know, yes, get Chalobah, yes, get Naki, but no chance to get people out of pie. If you're going to bring loan players in who are going to block the pathway of actual Reading players, they have to be top quality.
No, there's no point for me picking someone like him when you've got a Dom Samuel, you've got a Novakovic, you've got a Harry Caldwell. You know, you've got players like that who've got to have a chance. And the one nice thing is that some of these academy players have been given a chance this season. We've seen the likes of Aaron Cole, Jake Cooper, Jack Stacey, I thought did very well when he came on and showed a bit of life on Wednesday night. And you have got these players that are coming through. So there's a very solid base for Reading to build on. But it's, as you said, it's getting those calls right in the summer. And, you know, we mentioned there Alex Pearce, one of the players out of contract. Steve Clarke did say a few months ago, well, as soon as we're mathematically safe, we'll begin those contract renegotiations. I noticed Jem Karachan said that talks were going with him. But I mean, how are any of these contract negotiations going? Do you expect to see any announcements in the coming weeks?
Well, not particularly. I spoke to Piercy after the game on Wednesday night, and he hadn't heard a thing, and nor had Fred's when I spoke to him on Wednesday night about it either. So each time they seem to push the date back. First it was mathematically safe, and then it was Clark sort of suggesting about a month ago that things had started, and then just before the Arsenal game, it was a case of it'll be after the Arsenal game. But as of yet, as I know, nothing's happened, certainly not with Pearson and Feds anyway. I haven't spoke to them about it on Wednesday night. They're still waiting to hear from the club. I don't think anything's moved on in terms of that.
No, and it's about getting some of the other players under long-term contract as well. Because, you know, you mentioned Michael Hector, who put in a stunning performance on Saturday and was great again on Wednesday. He's only got a year left on his deal. I'm really going to need to start signing these players up long-term if they do want to build around, because you don't want to be in the situation that Reading found with Alex Pearce a couple of years ago, where you've got this player who's only got a year left on his deal, agents start getting in the ear. I'm not saying that's happened with Michael Hector, but agents will obviously start taking calls, and really need to lock up this future. They need to decide who they're building this side around and really tie them down.
Yeah, no, and I completely agree. I think Michael Hector is key because, like you said, he performed on the biggest stage of all on Saturday. And when after the game, deep down in the bowels of Wembley, Arsene Wenger, I watched, literally hunted down Michael Hector and went over to him, shook his hand and congratulated him on his display. And when you got managers like Arsene Wenger doing that, it's clear that he was impressed by what he saw on Saturday. And I'm not saying that means Arsene Wenger is suddenly going to snap him up in the summer, but you know, Hector obviously made that big an impression on him that he went down and congratulated on his performance. So an awful lot of people would have seen just how good Michael Hector was on Saturday against the big boys of Arsenal. And so, yeah, Reading need to get those sort of players. And it won't break the bank to keep Michael Hector and to tie him down to the contract.
Not.
He's the sort of player now that this club needs to build around. You know, some of the experienced pros, even people like Piercy, you know, they're not old or anything like that, but been here, has it worked? You know, is he offering that much to the team now? And Michael Hector going forward, in terms of monetary value as well, it's so important to get those sort of players tied down, because if someone does come and pluck them out of your squad, at least they're going to have to spend big money to do it. So yeah, no, it's vitally important. I'm sure Reading will be looking at that.
Yeah, well, fingers crossed. I said the window will open in a few short weeks, so we'll see what happens then. But we have got a couple of games left of this season, not long to go. Three games now for us to get through to that end of the season. They'll start with a visit at Brentford on Saturday. That's our final league game of the season. And other than obviously a big game for Brentford, just one thing before we talk about the game itself is Reading will announce the player of the season. Who are you tipping to win it, Charles?
Feds. I think Feds is nailed on. My top three is Feds number one, Hector number two, and Mackie number three.
I was going to say exactly the same.
I think that's probably going to how it pan out. Maybe number two and three might swap around, but I think that they're certainly going to be the three that are in there, and I think Feds will certainly get his hands on the award this year.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, though. I think if the vote had been done literally after the last game of the season, I think Michael Hector might just have done enough to nudge ahead, because I think certainly over the last sort of 8, 9, 10 games, basically since Steve Clark's come in, he's been absolutely superb. And we've looked at, you know, we do player ratings for every game this season, and Michael Hector has earned the highest ranking 11 times this season. I think Feds is on about 8. So Feds has put in some brilliant individual performances, but Hector's just been so consistent since Clark's come in. And I think if we did have those final three games, I think it'd certainly be very, very close.
Yeah. Oh, to be fair, like I said before, I think Michael Hector's improvement is the shining light, really, of Clark's tenure so far, other than the cup run. I think he's come on leaps and bounds under the new manager, and he's been brilliant. And certainly the last two months, I'd say he's hands down been the star man of this squad. He's been fantastic. He's just been actually a real joy to watch, to see his improvement. But I'd still, Fed still gets my vote.
Just a shame that two of those three will quite probably not be at the club next season.
Yeah, indeed.
Well, I hope both of them are. I hope all three of them are. But they're obviously going to have to stump up some cash to get Jamie Mackie in.
Yeah, I can't see Mackie coming.
No?
Well, maybe on loan. Again, it depends. I mean, Forest are going to have to make a call on what they want to do with him. But he's on very big wages at Forest. So, you know, Reading, this summer's all about sorting the wage bill out, continuing to sort the wage bill out, and take on the wages that Mackie's on. I just can't see Reading doing it.
Interesting. Well, I said I very much hope they can work something out, because he has been one of the players that, again, you just absolutely love to have in your squad. One of the players that has actually excited me this year and one you can get behind. So to lose him would be a massive blow. But so we'll see what happens in the summer. But this Brentford game then on Saturday, the final home game of the season. Brentford have got something to play for. I think if you said at the start of the season that out of the two teams that are chasing a playoff place on the final day, it'd be Brentford. Actually, in saying that, I'd probably agree with you. but still, they've had a fantastic season. A real wobble as of late, though. And they've got to really work hard to get in the playoffs. They've got to overturn that three-point gap to Ipswich. And not just that, Charles, but they've got an inferior goal difference of four. So it's not just going to be a case of coming to Reading and hoping for a 1-0. They're really going to have to go for this.
Oh, yeah, they'll go for it. And I think we saw at Griffin Park when Brentford turned Reading over in October, I think it was. You know, they're a very good side, and they're the sort of side that Reading struggle against as well. They're quick. They've got a lot of movement. You've got sort of Jota and Pritchard rotating around behind the striker, and they'll cause Reading plenty of problems. And there's going to be an awful lot of Brentford fans making a trip down here. So, you know, it'll be a proper game, this one, on Saturday. It's not going to be just some end-of-season meaningless match. You know, Brentford, there's an awful lot riding on it for Brentford, and maybe that will help Reading in a way. So it's not just going to be one of those mundane games like it was on Wednesday night. I think there'll be a lot more tempo to it
I was just going to say, so what do you do with the team, with the Reading team? Because obviously we saw a pretty much full-strength Reading side out on Wednesday night, and they didn't perform. At this point, do you just say, look, if you've not got a contract here next season, I'm not playing you, and we need to see what we've got for the rest of the squad, or do you still try and put out the best side you can?
Well, it's interesting, to be honest, and it'll be interesting to see if Piercy plays, because he didn't play on Wednesday. When I spoke to him after the game, he was just walking past in the corridor, we bumped into each other, and we had a little chat, and I said, what's the deal? Why weren't you playing today? You just rested. He's like, yeah, I'm just rested. Hopefully I'll be in on Saturday. But so it'll be interesting to see if he does come back in. If he doesn't, then I think it says an awful lot about, you know, what Clark's thinking about for next season, and maybe he's looking at the players who are definitely going to be here, and you know, he'll play Jake Cooper again alongside Michael Hector. So I think that'll be a really interesting one to watch. If Piercy's not in the side on Saturday, I think that may well say a lot. But I think he'll continue to play a fairly strong squad. There'll be a couple of youngsters that we'll see. Obviously, Novakovic came on, like you said, on Wednesday night, as did Stacey. And every time I've seen Stacey play, I think he's looked a very good player.
He's got something, hasn't he?
He has got something, and Clark knows he's got something. I think he's very much in Clark's mind, certainly going forward. So it'll be interesting. I think we'll probably see him get a little bit more involvement certainly coming off the bench between now and the end of the season. But I think he'll still go over a relatively strong side. I don't think he'll make too many changes. He said this week that, you know, there's a lot on these games for the other teams, Brentford, even Rotherham, and then Derby. You know, all three of those games could have something on them for the other side. And so he's not going to just go there and experiment massively and let the other teams walk away with 3 points. I think he'll still use a pretty much a strong established squad.
Okay then, prediction time. As we go into these final three games of the season now, the prediction league standings haven't changed. We all got the Birmingham score wrong. None of us predicted we all predicted wins, so really, we should have known a defeat was coming. Going into the final, we've got three games left, Charles. You can still mathematically draw level with a lead. You have to get three correct scores right, though. You're on 17, Westy's on 18, Johnny's on 24, and I'm at the top on 26. We've made our predictions for the Brentford game. I've gone for a 2-2 draw. Johnny is also going for 2-2. And Westy's gone for a 1-1 draw. So three draws at the moment, Charles. Are you saying any different?
I was going to go for 1-1, but if I'm trying to claw back on you guys, I'm going to have to go for something different, I think. I'm going to say 2-1 Brentford.
2-1 Brentford. Okay. Yes. And then on to Tuesday night, and it's a trip to New York. This is where we could have been last Saturday until the FA Cup run. First trip to Reading for a new stadium, so one for you people who like to tick off away grounds. First trip for you, Charles?
Yes, very much. First trip to me, for me. So, yeah, looking forward to that one, the Big Apple and all that.
Yeah, Rotherham have still got some lingering fears over relegation. They've got this points deduction as well.
I think they're going to have big lingering fears over relegation because I think they're definitely going to lose points over that. So, they're going to have a lot to play for on Tuesday night, I think. And I think they'll probably learn their fate before Tuesday night as well. So
that will certainly spice that one up. How do you see that one going?
I think Reading are going to win that 1-0.
1-0 win to Reading. I am going to go for a hold off on my prediction until the show on Monday and to get those final two predictions in for the end of the season. See where I am with Johnny, because I might need to do some tactical suggestions. I might have to play dirty to win this. But that just about wraps it up, really. Not an awful lot else to talk about. As I said, the contract situations, transfers, it's all going to start rumbling on. I've noticed that the Thai owners have been over here quite a lot recently, Charles. Obviously, they were here to take in the game on Saturday and they seem to be getting a little bit more involved as the final weeks of the season.
Yeah, it's just a shame that I think my invite got lost in the post to go and speak to them, unfortunately. Yeah, I think the big boys have were bowed down to. I think we saw a few national papers come and get wined and dined at the Madstad next to the BBC in a nice executive box, and so they could ask all their nice questions, but unfortunately my invite must have got lost somewhere. It kind of happened quite a bit around that FA Cup semi-final, to be honest. But
It's amazing what the postal service can do.
I know, not that I'm complaining at all.
No, well, as I said, hopefully we'll find out a few more about their plans. It's crunch time now. A lot of people have had their questions about the ownership all season long. How much money have they got? And we've only got a few weeks to wait to find out. This is
Would have been nice to ask her.
Yeah, although in saying that, I don't think you'd have got from what I've read, I don't think you'd have got a straight answer anyway.
No, I'm not sure I would have done, but
I think I heard Steve Clark described as a wily fox.
Yes, he was described as a wily fox. It's quite an interesting one.
I hope they were talking about his transfer acumen. Yeah. Anyway, before I upset Mrs. Clark any further, I'm going to end this show. Charles, thanks very much for joining me. You can follow Charles on Twitter at Charles_Watts and head over to getreading.co.uk for all the latest news and views. Well, you can also head over to thetalesn.com for plenty more fan opinion and analysis. We'll be ramping up our coverage for the end of the season. I'm sure there'll be plenty of reviews and player of the season tips and all that jazz. Plus, lots of coverage from our day at Wembley as well, where there were a couple of Tarlhurst Enders in the press box as well, Charles. I don't know if you bumped into them.
I didn't bump into them, no. Did I saw they had very good access, though. They were coming downstairs in the tunnel and everything like that.
Yeah, just another reason to... I got an email setting up that opportunity a couple of days before the wedding, and it was just another dagger. With my FA Cup dreams. You know, not just was I missing out on a seat, you know, I missed out on a seat in the press box, but, you know, good times were had by all. So and just very quickly, thank you to everyone, including yourself, for the well wishes. Everything went well, and 5 days later I'm still a married man, so all going well so far. Although I haven't seen Reading win since I've been married, so that's gonna have to change soon.
Hopefully it'll change on Saturday, mate.
Indeed. Right, Charles, thank you very much. I'll speak to you next Friday for possibly the last show of the season. We'll see how it goes, but in the meantime, the main edition of the show should be out Monday night, and I'll speak to you then. Take care.
Take easy, then.
Bye bye.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
at the Tarlhurst End
and facebook.com/thetarlhurstend.